Is there still time for me to preach? Why not? I've got the whole day. I think he's the only one that's saying that. I want to commend all of you. I guess there's some duvets that's crying at home that lost the battle this morning. I have to be here because I have to preach. But I guess the rest of you are here by choice. So thank you for coming. And for having victory over your blankets and your duvets and your electric blankets or whatever keeps you cuddly at night. Yeah, praise the Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for this morning and for the word. And thank you that you're already speaking to us, God. And I just pray that this morning it will be a blessing to our hearts, God. And thank you for your truth that change us and challenge us, Lord. And we just praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, some of you were here, some of you weren't here. So I just quickly want to recap on what God laid on my heart. He was really just speaking to me and to us as a church regarding our prophetic call specifically as being watchmen. And in intercession, God showed us this picture that he's busy straightening out us as an arrow. He's because of certain things, and sometimes as individuals, or sometimes as a group, or as a church, there's so many distractions that comes, and we just saw this picture of an arrow that started to sprout little leaves and twigs, and made the arrow very ineffectively actually, and how God by His Spirit just started to clean that arrow off again, just cutting off that twigs again and smoothing it out and sharpening the point of the arrow, the little feathers at the back, getting that straightened out again. And getting ready to launch individuals and to launch the church just into a greater calling, into a greater anointing as well. And the Lord just showed us as well that He's just calling the watchmen back to that place where they have to stand on the wall to keep an eye out on the enemy, and actually give that sniper cover. Some of you have seen those movies of snipers, you know, that as the troops go out into the field, they give the cover to the people that goes out. And that's something that we've been doing now that the mission teams are going out. And after the service, I'd really like us just to pray for the teams that's out there already. Some of them have come back with great reports. And we look so forward to hear from them what they've achieved and what the Lord has done in them and through them in the nations. But as a church, we always have to remember and steward that place of being watchmen and standing on the wall, giving covering fire for the people that's going out. And also a thing that God is challenging us with is to fill the wall again with watchmen and be our brother's keepers. And this morning what I want to speak about is I just feel there's so many things in the world that can distract us, so many things that can keep us from what God has called us to do. Somebody the other day talked about the devil is so good at sleight of hand. You know, he'll create a fuss about something, and everybody will focus their energy and their attention and sometimes even their finances on that distraction. And it prevents us from hearing what our Lord is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying, because everybody is rushing off after this emotional thing. And this morning, I specifically just feel that there's some of us that God is busy. For you, it might be feeling that, you see, I'm standing here in the sides, I'm standing here in the shadows, and I'm not fulfilling the calling that God has placed on my life, the purpose that God has placed on my life. Because you don't see stuff happening yet. You don't see miracles. You don't see the people that you're praying for coming to salvation. And there's a bit of an unbelief that's starting to creep into your life. And this morning, I just believe God is encouraging us and saying, you know, I never leave you and forsake you. I never send you out on your own into something. I'm always busy with something. And many times when we feel we're going back, it's actually just the Lord that's pulling back His arrow. And at the right time, He will release us into that prophetic season, into that prophetic significance. And sometimes we might see the changes that God wants to bring about through us. Sometimes we won't see it. Sometimes somebody else will walk into the work that we've done. There's a scripture that I'll read in just a moment where Paul says, listen, I build on Christ. I build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And then somebody else go and build on that work. And obviously somebody else go and build on that work. And I had to make a peace with myself. I'm a person that I enjoy operating in groups. And I like the, not the attention, the vibrancy of groups and teamwork and seeing that things happen. But you know, many times in church, we don't see that. We know we pray and we've been praying for years and we don't see the work. And I believe we have to make a peace with that. That God raises up a generation. We walking in the glory of the work of a previous generation that's been praying, that's been interceding faithfully. And we doing the same now for a next generation. And we've got to make a peace with that, that we will not always see the fruit of our work. Our children might see that, or our great-great-grandchildren might see that if Jesus hasn't come back by then. But extending the kingdom and letting the kingdom come. So this morning, I want to speak about the ministry of reconciliation. I have this picture of the church still as a arrow or arrows being sent out by God. I talked the previous time about us being quivers in an almighty God, in a Father's quiver. And He's taking us out and He's launching us into areas. Sometimes it's difficult areas for us. Sometimes it's us having to face our past. It's sometimes us having to face family or people at work or nations that we don't get along with well, like Jonah. He didn't want to go, but God eventually, you know, He reloaded him in the arrow and eventually he shot him off to Nineveh. And God is doing that. But there where we land, we've got this responsibility to be ministers of reconciliation. And I want to read this scripture to us this morning here in 2 Corinthians 5. It says here from verse 14, "For the love of Christ controls us." Isn't that beautiful? The love of Christ controls us. And I have that picture of an arrow that flies through the air and those little feathers at the back, it controls the direction. And it says here, the love of Christ, it controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, David, your timing is impeccable for the Rugby World Cup. You know, so very good strategic move there. The rest of us will watch like Beth Midler from a distance. But I remember the 1995 World Cup. Anybody that still have sweet memories regarding that? Most of us do if you're old enough. And we remember just the whole nation being united around rugby and around the Springboks. And we remember that sweet moment when Mr. Mandela, who was then the president, handed the cup over to Francois Pienaar, and there was that celebration of unity in the nation. Massive. I think one of the major highlights in this country's history. You know, and at the moment, I don't know, I don't think there's the same excitement. You know, some of the guys said they went to the game yesterday, and there's a lot of amakrokies, you know, that's playing for the Springboks. But the sad thing is that as a nation and as people all over the world, we're always missing the obvious. We're always placing our trust in something other than Jesus Christ to bring about that reconciliation. We've tried that with the soccer. We're not going to say too much about that. We've tried that with putting our trust in other icons and in politicians or leaders or whatever. And we always miss the obvious. All over the world, people are missing the obvious. Reconciliation can only come through Jesus Christ. And as a church, we carry that responsibility to be the ministers and to be the stewards of that great news. That to fix the world, people must come to Jesus. I've been reading just up on certain people's testimonies, and it's amazing how hardcore military terrorists, in like they say, one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter, but hardcore people that's been in action in military, scarred in their life, they found their reconciliation to one another, to their enemies, through reconciling with Jesus Christ. That is a reconciliation that holds. You know, and as a country, it's as if we're back at square one. We're at a place once again we so desperately need a truth and reconciliation, but not with a commission. With the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you agree with me this morning? I know that's what we all know. But God is calling us to be stewards of that and saying, I want you to bring that reconciliation about in the world. And I praise the Lord for our teams that's going out and for the difference that we make. I want to encourage you. I don't know who of you receive our global newsletter. If you don't receive the global newsletter, please go to the information table afterwards and ask the people for the link that you want to receive that. You know, we're halfway through this year, and we're resting at the moment. Some people are on mission. Some people are actually now only gaining momentum, but it's a time for stocking up again. If you read the global newsletter, you'll see what God has been doing in us and through us, this church. In this time and in this season. Amazing stuff that happened already in the past few months. The men's camp, the Awaken, mission teams that went out, different stuff that, just go read it. You know, don't just put it in your outbox and don't read it. Sign up for it and go and read it. And celebrate with the church what God has been doing. Because greater things are yet to come. Let us not boast in what we've done already. Let us celebrate that and say, Lord, thank you. We're giving you glory that you used this church, that you used individuals, that you used small groups, that you used people to be ministers of reconciliation. Let's celebrate that and let's stock up and say, Lord, we're ready. We're ready for the next move. And it's like, I so love what the Holy Spirit did this morning. He helped me to, this morning Alida prayed for me. She said, Lord, please help Rick to get through his 102 slides. That's the slides that I'm working. We're at number 6 now. But by what the Holy Spirit did this morning, and just that's what I just trusted the Lord for us to be open and to minister. He already took away about 10 slides. So, no, I'm kidding. Around about 50 slides. We're getting there. You know, but that's just a challenge. If we don't steward this ministry of reconciliation, and now I have to speak louder because there's some competition. We tend to lose focus. And that's what church is for. That's why a morning like this is for. That's why we as cell groups come together, because God has not made us lone rangers. He's made us people that participate in a group, in a team, in a community, saying to one another, you know, I know we're running this race and I can see you're tired, but here's my glass of water. Here's the goo that I'm not going to drink. Here's my energy drink. Let's encourage one another to be stewards of the ministry of reconciliation. In Isaiah 61, we read the following. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And then in Isaiah 58, the following as well. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. These foundations, these ruins, it refers to us as people. It refers to the state that nations and individuals find themselves in. And Isaiah come with this prophecy talking about Jesus Christ that will come and that will fix and that will build and that will raise up and that will bring us to that place where we are effective in the calling and the purpose that God has placed on our lives. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says. 1 to 16 says, But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Now just that one verse so encourages me. Paul comes and he says, listen, he talks to the Corinthians and he say, I look at you and I want to speak to you as mature spiritual adults, but I can't. I still have to give you milk. And the problem, the challenge with them was there was jealousy regarding ministry and contentions regarding ministry. They were childish. One was following Paul and the other one was following Apollos, and they compared their success and the status of the apostles with one another. So Paul comes and he says, listen, you childish man. And it so encourages me that he says that, but at the same time, he addresses them as brothers. And he addresses them as in Christ, in that safe place. And for me, just saying, you know, I'm not mature in Christ. Neither are you. If you mature in Christ, it's good. You can check out. Jesus will come and fetch you. But for the most of us, he's not done with us. He's busy with us. He's working with us. And regardless of the attitude of your heart, regardless of how you feel emotionally, how mature you feel spiritually, God says, if you are placing your faith in Jesus Christ, you're safe. He regards you as a brother. He's saying you are in Christ Jesus. It's a safe place for us to grow. We have not arrived yet, but we're on our way. We're moving from glory to glory. Verse 2 says, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is a jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Now watch how Paul is describing a process of discipleship here. Of us being discipled, but us also being called to be disciple makers in the kingdom of God. The ministry of reconciliation is all about that. Being discipled to become more and more like Christ Jesus. And the more we become like Christ Jesus, the more effective we are in making disciples, in being effective disciple makers. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, upon that foundation. For no one can lay a foundation than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So Paul calls us. He calls us to a place where he says, you have to build wisely. You have to accept the responsibility of being ministers of reconciliation. And we have to do that regularly. Otherwise, we get distracted. Say, Lord, I'm tired. But I trust, God, that your grace is sufficient for me. I pray for your anointing, Lord. Lord, I pray for the next 6 months, God, that in this year, God, that you will anoint me, Lord, that I will settle up again. And God, that I will be effective in the ministry that you have called me to. And that you will grow in that process and through that process with patience as well. It's like a parent. We've got a little boy. He's going for 11 months. And I don't know, the previous Sunday, I complained about his teeth. And somebody must have prayed because he's sleeping through now. So I don't know who it was, but thank you very much. If you're out there in the world, thank you very much. But as a parent, you know, whether it's a crying baby or dirty nappies, whether it's teething or it's a teenager that's hormonally charged going through puberty, you know this is a season. You know, we're going to get through this. You know, we're going to get to the other side. And in the meantime, I don't take my boy and I put him outside with the cat. Going much better with the cat, by the way, as well, for those who prayed for the cat's messing. I accept my son. I love my son. I keep him close to me. And we always have to remember that God is busy with us. Always. Always loving us. Always holding us dear to his bosom. Regardless of what we're seeing outside. Regardless of the outcome of what we do as well. God is busy with us. You know, I really want it to be said of my generation that we're a generation that disciple effectively, that build effectively, and that we carry the skills that we're learning and we're picking up in this generation over to the next generation, because we're not just building for ourselves. I love these pictures at the back here. You know, the ladies did an amazing job with that. And it's up here to remind us of the other generations as well, of the nations that's waiting. And that God is always 1,000 steps ahead of us with his planning and what he does. But he's waiting for sons and daughters that will stick up their hands and say, God, we're in this with you. Romans 8 says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That's always been God's vision. He's always wanted to raise up, and he's doing that, sons and daughters that with authority and with power can be ministers of reconciliation, can have a powerful influence where they are, where you work, where you play, where you can be the salt and the light, where you can be the city on a hill, and bring about reconciliation to Christ. When we in church talk about sonship, we talk about this calling to first repair and to build the ruined and the destroyed and the devastated inner self. Because when we grow from a place where we are broken, where we are devastated, to a place where we are whole and where we are healed and where we know we are sons and daughters of the living God, then from that place, we can comfortably be launched time and time and time again to do the purpose of God, to do what he has called us to do. But if we hurt, if we're broken, if our emotions are in turmoil, like it many times is, to be honest with you, many times my emotions and my mind is all over the place. It's in turmoil. You know, I'm reluctant. I'm reluctant to do the work of God. And then I've got to come back. I've got to come back to a moment like this morning and say, God, I just want to be honest before you this morning and say, Lord, I'm not where I really think I should be. And I ask you, God, to come and touch me. Because it's the anointing of the Lord that breaks the yoke. It's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God that God builds his kingdom. And the laborers labor in vain. It's Jesus that builds his kingdom. And this is what it means. It means that we have to be reconciled to him all the time. Be in that place of intimacy, running back to Jesus Christ. And then with him, run out again. And sometimes our ways part. And I go this way and Jesus is going that way. I like to use the example of having a motorbike with a sidecar. Many times we kick Jesus off the driving seat and we jump on that and then we make a turn and then we start repenting because we see we can't do this on our own. And then we say, Jesus, you get into the sidecar, I'll show you where we're going. And then we mess it up even further. Until we realize, no, put on the brakes and say, God, I'm getting out of the driving seat. I'll get into the sidecar. You take us where we're supposed to go. That's what the ministry of reconciliation is all about. We have to reconcile people to God for them to be reconciled to one another as well. And we know that this reconciliation is both a moment and it's a process of surrendering our control to Jesus Christ. And that's why the relationship with God is all important. We have to relate right to build right. Psalm 111 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." And you know, we're growing up in a generation, in a time where the world dictates to us that all men are equal. And that's a philosophy that started with the French Revolution. It says that all men are equal. And the problem with that means that then nobody can lead. Out of that, many other things have been birthed. And as people, many times, you know, we become familiar with the people around us. We stop honoring one another in church as well as members. I speak down to you. I speak at you. I don't speak to you. And with one another as well. We see people as mere objects and not as creations of God. And then many times, you know, from that place, we start to become familiar with leadership. We don't honor leaders. The leaders say this thing, you know, but hey, I don't have to listen to them. And then from that, you know, we start to become familiar with God as well. We get Jesus on the same level that we are, and we relate to him in a buddy-buddy way. And yes, Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. That's true. But a lot of times, we don't get the victories in our lives, and we don't get the victories as church because we relate in a wrong way to Jesus Christ. We have to relate to him so many times as the commander of the army of God. Depending in which season the church is, depending in which season we as individuals are. You know, there's a time for sowing, there's a time for reaping, there's a time for peace, there's a time for war. All the time we have to relate to Jesus Christ as the King. He's always the King. And he remains our Father. He remains with open arms waiting for us to run to him. But many times we go out and we go out into the mission field, we go out into battle, we go out into life, and we don't experience success because he is not Lord of all. We only invite him into certain areas. And we must learn to relate in the right way to our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 17 says, "Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered, 'The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, "Look here, it is," or "There, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you."'" Jesus Christ represents the kingdom of God in our lives. It's not something far, it's close to us. And he talks about the kingdom because he wants us to relate in that way to him. Knowing that he is our Lord, knowing that he is our Savior, but also knowing that he is King of kings and he is Lord of lords. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, verse 11. And this is what the Holy Spirit has been showing us this whole morning. that we have to make a honest evaluation of where we are in this moment, in this time of our lives. Be honest with ourselves. And it's a challenge to be honest with ourselves if we've been churchgoers for so long. Because there come a time where either shame or pride kicks into our lives. You know, I'm ashamed that I am not where I am supposed to be. I start comparing myself with other people and other people's spirituality. Or pride kicks in and says, you know, I don't have to respond to that altar call. I'm sorted out. Or I'm ashamed. So I don't respond. And I keep my heart closed to what God wants to do in my life. And 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You know, and we are so privileged that the Holy Spirit of God comes and he convicts us. He convicts us of the place where he wants us to be. He shows us through his word, through scripture, the standard of Christ Jesus. He says, I want that standard in your life. And our own spirit comes and says, you know, this is where you are at the moment. Don't feel condemned. Don't fret. Don't freak out about it. Just be honest and say, Lord, this is where I am at the moment. I know, God, I have to be a minister of reconciliation. I know, God, I have to be a smooth arrow being sent out by you to bring an influence into this world. But God, currently I'm just feeling like a leafy twig. There's so many distractions. There's so many things that's preventing me from smoothly flying through the air and hitting the target that you intended for me to hit. But God, today I come to you and I say, I'm honest, God. Here I am, the leafy twig. Take your sword, Lord. Take your knife and clean me. Prune me. Straighten me out. Varnish me, Lord. And send me out again, Lord. The state of our inner being is something that comes to light when we compare where we find ourselves currently with where and what God intends for us to be. And for that, change must take place in me. You know, me and my wife, we fight a lot. Surprise. No, not that much. But when we do, we always come back and say, okay, wie was reg en wie was verkeerd? Who else does that? Who was right and who was wrong? And I'm usually right. No, I'm not. And then I say sorry, or she says sorry, and life goes on. And you know, with the Lord, it's exactly the same. It's just he never has to say sorry. We're the ones that have to say sorry, always. But we regularly actually have to wrestle with God, like Jacob did. Wrestle with God. You know, if you don't agree with something, wrestle with him until the Lord makes you agree, because he will make you agree, because you're wrong. He's always right. But he will let you agree by showing you through his word, through people, through confirmations of stuff. He will smooth you out. But we have to surrender to that process. Matthew 16. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Matthew 12, verse 30 to 37 says, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. The Pharisees had this problem of relating in a totally wrong way with Jesus. And they accused him and say, oh, but he casts out demons with the power of the devil. And then that's when he said this, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. And I see the grace of Jesus in that. He says, listen, I'm on my way to the cross, and you guys can speak against me, but I'm going to die for your sin. I'm going to die for this blasphemy that you're speaking here. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to repent of that. I'm going to empower you and I'm going to give you the grace because I'm going to be risen. And then I'm going to send my Spirit. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to convict you. But if you continue in your sin, blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven you. Just talking about right relating. Talking about us many times being not blasphemous, but quenching the Holy Spirit, being stubborn and wasting so much time while Jesus is saying, come, come to me. Come to me. I'll hold you close. I'll discipline you. I'll correct you. I'll do whatever it takes to let you conform more and more into my image. I'm almost through. Mark 12 verse 30. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's the word of God that helps us to refocus. Wherever you are this morning, in your mind or in your heart, regarding the calling on your life, the ministry that God has given you, the scripture of God, the Holy Spirit, the time that we spent with Him, reading, praying, it refocuses us. You know, and we so need that. We so need that daily. I think it's John Piper who always say, he's got to spend time every morning afresh with the Lord because when he wakes up, he experiences the devil sitting on his face. You know? And many times that's what we experience. The enemy sitting on our face. And then we skip spending time with the Lord in the morning and the whole day we look like this. People think, what's wrong with you? You know? And you don't want to say it, but you're trying to shake the enemy off your face. And all it actually would have taken was you to get up half an hour earlier, open your Bible, rebuke the devil, and he would flee from you. And you could actually walk straight through the day. And people, we have to keep one another accountable for that. Help one another to stay focused. Help one another to refocus again on the calling and the purpose of God. If there's right praying, there will be right going. If there's no praying, there will be no going. And many times we say, you know, God has called us to the nations and the generations. He's called us to make disciples. He's called us to raise up leaders and to plant churches. But many times we just don't go. Or we can't go. Or when we go sleepvoetsman, halfhartig. Help me with the Engelse word. Okay. You go. It's a niche skipping. Many times we go because somebody else told us to go. The motivation is the group is drawing me. And Jesus said, I want you to go because you spend time with me. And my conviction is so strong upon your life. I have poured out my compassion for you in your life. And that compassion, that love by which you are controlled, it spills over to the rest of the world. And you are compelled to go. You've got no other choice. You know, you've got to tell people to hold you back because you just want to go. And that kind of going only comes when we spend time with the Lord, when we intimate with Him, when we cherish moments like this morning, not just coming to the church because it's a culture or my husband or my wife or sometimes even my little kid dragged me here. It's because I know in this place of fellowship among saints, I will be revitalized. In this place, I will experience the anointing of the Lord again. I will be reloaded and I will be shot like an arrow to my purpose again. Matthew 6, therefore do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Matthew 7 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Lastly, I just want to read 1 Chronicles 4 and then a scripture from Colossians. This prayer of Jabez. You know, every kingdom that's worth its weight would have this desire to extend. To extend it, to enlarge its border. And Jabez, he prayed this prayer in 1 Chronicles 4. He said, O God of Israel, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. For us to be proper stewards of the ministry of reconciliation, that desire to extend the kingdom of God must be in us. We must be willing and say, Lord, use me. Use me there where I am. Use me, Father God, to speak into people's lives. Use me to pray into people's lives, to preach into people's lives, to do whatever I need to do to let your kingdom be extended and be enlarged. Because God called us to take territory, to bring people to Christ. That is our territory. To bring people to Jesus Christ, to bring souls into the kingdom of God, to disciple them, and to make disciple makers out of them. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 25. It's just so beautiful. Our God, Paul just speaks, God uses Paul to speak to the church and give direction as to how we have to behave. How the church of Jesus Christ has been called to different nations, different generations. You know, the church of Jesus Christ is a place where there isn't room for racism. There isn't room for sexism. There isn't room for all the isms. Ageism. I don't even know if there's a word like that. We're different generations. We come from different backgrounds. We all carry so many stuff. And the moment we lose focus on Jesus, all the isms start to minister to us. And God says, that's not what I want. I want a unity in my church. I want the effectivity in my church. And that only comes about when there's a reconciliation in Christ. Verse 1, Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleases, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. And I just see how Paul comes and he says, that's what I want in my church. I want there to be accountability. I want there to be unity. I want there to be quick forgiveness. I want you to sort out the offense. I want you to bless one another. I want you to speak into one another's heart. I want you to be accountable to one another regarding the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to grow from glory to glory and be effective in what I've called you. Richard, you guys can take the stage again. I want us to stand this morning as they're going to start playing, and then as a commitment, I think God has already helped us to start making an honest assessment of where we are spiritually. And regardless how you feel now, faith isn't always a feeling, eh? I want you this morning just to start thinking, speak to God, speak to the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, I want you to show me, God, in this week, in the next 2 weeks, in the next month, in the rest of this year, God, who are the people that you want me to bring to reconciliation? Maybe there's people that needs forgiveness from your side. Maybe there's people that that we still have to have that discussion. I want a repentance from them, and maybe you're not going to get that. But if the Lord tells you, you know, you've got to go to those people and just build that bridge again. And you're feeling this morning, well, I can't do that. I'm so angry. I'm so hurt. I'm so offended. Surrender that to God. Say, God, you're the one that gives the grace. You're the one that anoints. You're the one that sets up an opportunity where I can actually speak to people, speak into their lives. Don't leave things hanging. And if you're working with people, if you're playing with people, if it's children in your school that you teach, if it's your teacher, make an earnest attempt and say, Lord, who are those people that I see every day? But God, we've become so familiar with one another that I don't see their needs anymore. I don't see, God, that they need a Savior. I don't see, God, that they need reconciliation. I don't even see their hurt anymore. I've become numb, Lord, to their needs. Come to God and say, Lord, these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or whatever God has placed on your potential, these are the people, God, that I bring before you. And God, I'm going to start praying for them. I'm going to start interceding for them. And I'm going to trust you, God, that you lead us to a place, Father God, Lord, where we can share. I'm going to trust you, God, to a place where, Lord, where I can pray for them, or I can have a conversation about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to trust you, Lord, that they will come into a place of reconciliation with Jesus Christ. And it starts with that place where we wrestle with God about people. We repent and say, God, I'm so sorry that I've become so familiar with this family member of mine. I repent of that, Lord. And I want to pray, God, that you will stir in my insides again, Lord, a compassion, Lord, for that person. If it's one person, it's one person. Then your mission for that time is complete. But we have to come to the Lord and say, God, this is where I'm at. I'm honest with you, Lord. I feel nothing, Lord, for the nations. I'm numb, Lord. I'm tired. I'm freaked out about what's going on in the world. There's more fear in my life, God, than anything else. But Lord, I bring it to you. I bring it before you. I lay it before your feet and I say, God, I want a transaction to take place. I want your love. I want your goodness. I want your mercy. I want every attribute of Jesus Christ to flow in me and through me. And God, then I will go. I will go in faith, God. I will not be held back. I will not be held back by fear any longer. I will not be held back by intimidation. I will step into those valleys and I will bring about the change, Lord, that you have predestined me to bring about. In Jesus' name. Just for the next few minutes, 5 minutes or so, I want you to speak to God. Say, God, I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. The word has spoken to me. Your word is convicting me, Lord. I'm responding to that now. Humbly, I'm just responding to that, God. So do in me what you want to do in me. Just for the next 5 minutes. If you want, you can pray with somebody else. Otherwise, it's just between you and God. Say, God, these are the people that I hold before you, God. And then get practical. Write it down. Put it on your fridge or your refrigerator, whichever you visit more often. Say, God, I'm going to intercede for those people daily. I'm going to bring them before you until you show me how to move and when to move. In Jesus' name.